Welcome. My name is Pastor Scotty Bockhaus, and we thank you for taking some time to listen to some audio recordings from the pulpit of the Riverview Baptist Church. Our desire is to show the Lord high, holy, and lifted up, as well as try to be a blessing to those through the Word of God. Please enjoy this message, and we pray that it will be a blessing to your life. We're in this morning, chapter 8, they go and conquer Ai. And now all of Israel is laid before them, and they're preparing to have the different conquests. In the next several chapters, we'll see the southern campaign, we'll see the northern campaign, we'll see the central campaign. A lot of that will be a little bit fast forward, as the Bible gives a fast forward. But tucked in between all of these battles, tucked in between all the fights and the things that are going on, we find a very important passage that even though it considers only five verses here, that what happens is that it's a reflection of five, six chapters of something in Deuteronomy that was predicted, that was ordered, that was set aside, and it is something that God puts an emphasis on. That whenever we preach the Bible, we always must put the emphasis where God places the emphasis. So if God dedicates several chapters to an event, it is something that is very important and something very distinctive that God wants us to know about, something that's going to be of a great importance. And we find it listed here in the book of Joshua, chapter number 8. Joshua chapter 8, and notice with me, starting at verse number 30. Joshua chapter 8 and verse number 30, and notice what the Word of God says. Then Joshua built an altar unto the Lord God of Israel in Mount Ebal, as Moses, the servant of the Lord, commanded the children of Israel, as is written in the book of the law of Moses, an altar of whole stones, over which no man hath lift up any iron, and they offered therein burnt offerings unto the Lord, and sacrifice peace offerings. And he wrote there upon the stones a copy of the law of Moses, which he wrote in the presence of the children of Israel. And all Israel, and their elders, and officers, and their judges, stood on this side the ark, and on that side before the priest of the Levites, which bear the ark of the covenant of the Lord, as well as the stranger, as he that was born amongst them, half of them over against Mount Gerizim, and half of them against Mount Ebal. As Moses the servant of the Lord had commanded before, that they should bless the people of Israel. And afterward he read all the words of the law, the blessings and cursings, according to all that is written in the book of the law. And there was not a word at all that Moses commanded, which Joshua read not before all of the congregation of Israel, with the women and the little ones and the strangers that were conversant among them. And if you're in the habit of marking things in your Bible, would you mark a phrase that we find in the book of Judges, chapter number 8? The book of Judges, chapter 8, and verse number 34, where it says, the blessings and cursings. The blessings and cursings. And with this, I'd like to hit a message speaking about the mounts of blessing and cursing. The mounts of blessing and cursings. And if you don't mind, let's go to the Lord together and let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you so much again for you being a wonderful God. And thank you for the great privilege to be in your house now. And Lord, as we come up to you, I'm asking that you would help this message live. Lord, I know that every sermon has to have two births, that the first birth has to be in study, and the second birth has to be in the pulpit. I'm asking, Lord, that just as alive and powerful as this was in the study, I'm asking that it would become just as alive in the preaching, Lord, that it would be used to help your people, that it would be used to have a blessing upon your people. And Lord, I know that I have no ability of myself. So I beg of you that you'd fill me with your Holy Spirit for the purpose of getting across and explaining and making it powerful and speaking to hearts and making it come alive today. The emphasis that you place here and the importance of this event that's tucked away in the midst of the battles. How important this event was in the history of the children of Israel. Lord, we desire blessings and we know it comes from your word. And in Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen. Now, again, as I said before, this is only 5 verses, but it represents chapters that are dedicated to this event. In fact, in the book of Deuteronomy, chapter number 11, turn with me really quick, and we'll see the beginning emphasis of this. Now, remember, in the book of Deuteronomy, this is before Joshua takes charge. The book of Deuteronomy is written in the last month of the wilderness wanderings. Moses is still alive, and it is the second telling of the law. And with it, Moses gives instructions to Joshua as leader. He gives instructions to Eleazar, the high priest, because Aaron has died, and that Eleazar is now in charge, and he's going to be in charge of doing this. And in Deuteronomy chapter number 11, let's see as God gives him a little bit of hints or orders of what's going to happen. Now, the full ceremony is going to be revealed later, but notice with me in Deuteronomy chapter 11. It says, in Deuteronomy chapter number 11, it says, look with me in verse number 26, Deuteronomy 11, 26. Behold, I set before you this day a blessing and a curse. A blessing if you obey the commandments of the Lord your God, which I command you this day. And a curse if you will not obey the commandments of the Lord your God, but turn aside out of the way which I command you to go after other gods which you have known. And it shall come to pass that when the Lord thy God hath brought thee into the land whither thou goest to possess it, that thou shalt put the blessing upon Mount Gizram and the curse upon Mount Ebal. Are they not on the other side of Jordan by the way where the sun goeth down in the land of Canaanites, which dwelleth in the campaign against Gilgal beside the mountains of Moriah? For ye shall pass over Jordan to go possess the land which the Lord God giveth you, and ye shall possess it and dwell therein. And ye shall observe to do all the statutes and judgment which I set before you this day. Now turn back with me to Joshua. And as you're doing that, Deuteronomy 11 is basically given a preamble saying, all right, Joshua, children of Israel, when you cross over, I want you to go to Mount Ebal and Mount Gizram, and that's on the other side of Jordan. You're going to have military campaign to drive out the Canaanites. But when you get there, I want you to have a special ceremony, and there I'm going to give you a blessing if you obey, and if you disobey, a cursing. Meanwhile, later on in Deuteronomy 27, 28, 29 and 30 gives the instructions for the entire ceremony of what's going to occur there at the Mount of Blessing and the Mount of Curse, Mount Ebal and Mount Gizram. And so even though Joshua 30, chapter 8, verses 30 to 35 only contains this much, we have 5 chapters dedicated to what is occurring. Now, God understood that he didn't want to repeat everything that was said. You could go back and say, all right, what's all going to happen during this ceremony? That Joshua 8 says they did the ceremony. But what's all entailed in this idea? Why is it the mounts of blessing and cursing? What's all supposed to happen? Well, notice with me in Joshua chapter 8, and the first thing I'd like to show you is the copying of God's word. The copying of God's word. Notice with me Joshua chapter 8 and verse number 30. Joshua 8 and verse 30, it says, then Joshua built an altar unto the Lord God of Israel in Mount Ebal. So we go to Mount Ebal, and there he goes and sets an altar. And Moses, the servant of the Lord, commanded the children of Israel, as is commanded in the book of the law of Moses, an altar of whole stones, which no man hath lift any iron, they offered thereon burnt offerings unto the Lord and sacrifice peace offerings. So they go up to the part of the mountain where there's big, huge stones, where no one has cut the stones. They're there on the mountain, and they set up altars, and they begin to sacrifice unto God to acknowledge that it all begins with God, that God brought us here. Then notice verse 32. And he, that's Joshua, wrote there upon the stones, so these big, huge stones that no man has cut with iron. Basically, they're the side of the cliff. They're the side of Mount Ebal on these huge white stones. Joshua goes and writes a copy of the law of Moses, which he wrote in the presence of the children of Israel. Now, in Mount Ebal, it is a very barren mountain. And on Mount Ebal, there's huge white barren stones that are up there. So they, first of all, they sacrifice and they honor God and the way that he told them. Then Joshua actually takes and writes, I was going to go from left to right, but it's actually from, in Hebrew, right to left. And he begins to write the entire law. What does that mean? That's not the Ten Commandments. That is Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. And he writes it on the wall, this huge rock face, and he begins to write the entire law for all of the children of Israel to see. Now, why is this such important? The reason is because God desires a copy of the Word of God to be available for every person. You see, you can't obey the commandments of God if you don't know what they are. You can't stand on promises if you don't know what they are. You need to know the Word of God for yourself. And it was very important to God that he actually put the Word of God and he placed it so everyone can see it. Hold your finger here and let's look at the instructions God gave in the book of Deuteronomy chapter 27. Deuteronomy 27, we're going to be doing some back and forth flipping, but this is important because the Bible gives the instructions in Deuteronomy and Joshua is carrying it out in the book of Joshua. But in the book of Deuteronomy chapter 27, notice with me in verse number 1, chapter 27 and verse number 1. And Moses and the elders of Israel commanded the people saying, keep all the commandments which I command you this day. And it shall be on the day when you shall pass over Jordan into the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee, that thou shalt set up great stones and plaster them with plaster. And thou shalt write upon them all the words of this law when thou hast passed over, that thou mayest goeth in the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee, and the land that floweth with milk and honey, as the Lord God of thy fathers had promised thee. And it shall be that when ye shall go, that when ye shall gone over to Jordan, that ye shall set up these stones, which I command you this day, in Mount Ebal, and thou shalt plaster them with plaster. And there thou shalt build an altar to the Lord thy God, an altar of stones, and thou shalt not lift up any iron tool upon them. And thou shalt build the altar of the Lord thy God of whole stones, and thou shalt offer burnt offerings thereon unto the Lord thy God. And thou shalt offer priest offerings, and thou shalt eat there, and rejoice before the Lord thy God. And thou shalt write upon the stones all the words of this law very plainly. So he's carrying out what was given. The instructions God had given through Moses says, all right, when you get there, you write down the entire law. And Joshua's there making sure that it is carried out before all the people, so all the people see for themselves the Word of God. You see, it's always been important to God. It has always been important to God that people have access to their own copy of the Word of God, whether it's written on the mountain so anyone can go and read it, or today when we don't carry these big stones around, we don't have the laws of Moses, but God has allowed us to have a book to be able to give it to people. It's one of the things that we've made a big deal here is that when someone joins or someone starts coming or someone gets saved, we give them a copy of the Word of God for themselves. It's important to us. We'll ask people, do you got a copy of the Word of God yourself? If not, can we buy one for you? And we've made it a personal practice, and it's neither here nor there, that we try to give good Bibles to people. More, not that not this bad Bible. We're talking about that we want to give something that's a little bit more expensive, something that has big words in it, big letters in it, something that people could easily read. You know, I understand that there's cheap gift Bibles and stuff, but the words are so tiny you need a magnifying glass to do it. People are not going to try to read something like that. Now, it's neither here nor there, but we're saying that this has been very important to us, that people have the Bible for themselves. You know, we're spoiled here in America. You know, we have access to God's Word. But all across the world today, do you know that over one third of the world does not have the Bible in their own language? meaning they cannot open the Bible and see the wonderful promise of John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth him should not perish but have everlasting life. They can't read it for themselves. They don't have access. They don't have a Bible they can read for themselves. You know, and that should break our heart when we realize that we're spoiled America. We have Bibles everywhere. We have them all over the place. But so much of the world doesn't have the Bible for themselves, that God desires it. You know, we need to be interested in trying to get the Bibles out to different people. I try to find out Bible translators and where they're at. I know that there's people working in different languages, and they're trying to get the copy of the Word of God to themselves. Even in places of Indonesia, right now they're working on a complete copy of the Indonesian Bible for the folks so they could read it for themselves. And what a wonderful thing. Normally when people go and they distribute Bibles, that you go to different places. Here in America, you try to give people a Bible and it's take it or leave it. But in other countries, they're so thankful they take it. There was a story of a family in Russia, because of the communist revolution, Bibles and stuff were outlawed. And so what they did is each person or each family was able to take a copy, just a page of the Word of God, and they were able to hide that one page. And for years, that's all they had, was that one page. Later on, when Russia was opened up to missionaries for a small time, people came and they gave the rest of the Word of God to people. And people would be crying and said, I always wondered what the rest of it said. And it meant so much to them. You see, God desires for people to have their own copy of the Word of God. What is the purpose of the Bible, by the way? The purpose of the Bible is to reveal God to man. That's its main purpose. And so if you don't have the Bible for yourself, you're missing out on what God wants you to know about himself. The Bible says that we need to give the whole counsel of God, to teach the whole Bible. Why is that important? We know that there's 66 books in the Bible, and each book of the Bible gives something special and unique about God. You see, this isn't a book about Moses. It's not a book about Joshua. It's a book about God. And that if there is a part of the Bible that we as Christians are unfamiliar with, that means it's a portion of God that we don't have a complete picture with. Have you ever put together a puzzle and then at the end you're missing two or three pieces? No. Well, if there's a part of the Bible that you've never read, that you've never studied, that you're not familiar with, you're missing that piece of puzzle of what God wants you to know about himself. It's always been important to God that people have the Word of God for themselves. We know that people have bled and died for this book, to pass it to people, to give it to the next generation, to have it available to people. We know that this book has been outlawed, it's been burned, it's been everything. But God has given victory to this book because he wants people to have it for himself. And sometimes, because we're rich, spoiled Americans and we're content with our Christianity, we don't realize the great price that people paid to give us the Bible. And then what we do with the Bible is that we take it or leave it and set it aside. And, you know, that's not what God intended. God wants us to have the Bible. He wants us to know what it says. He wants us to know the blessings we can have from it. He wants us to be warned about what not to do so we can have blessings and not the curses. It's always been important to God that he has the Word of God into people's hands so they have access to it for themselves. If that's true, I don't want to ask if you have a Bible for yourself, but what are you doing with that Bible? Is it something that after Sunday morning service, you toss it in the back of your car, and then on Sunday morning the next week you have to scramble, where did I put it? We need to be reading it for ourselves. We need to have it for ourselves. That's what God wanted. He wanted us to have access to the Word of God, and not just for us. But we need to be praying that people, and studying and finding out how to support, so people can get the Word of God into their own language. Because God wants people to have a copy of it for themselves. He wants us to have access. And that was the whole purpose. Why did God have Joshua write it on the mountain? So that way everyone had access to it. So everyone can see for themselves what the Word of God says. You know, I know that I'm your pastor and my job is to teach you the Word of God. But you're not even supposed to just take my word for it. You're supposed to look in the Bible and see if what I say lines up with the word of God, if it backs up with the word of God. You're to know it for yourself and not just depend on some man, but to depend on the word of God. You know, me and some of the preachers were talking about the other day, our job is to work ourselves out of a job to a degree. Our job is to teach you to read the word of God for yourself, to commune with God, to speak with God, that you have as much access to God as I do. And we want to teach you how to walk with God. Now, my job as a pastor is to help teach you and to help bring you on. But you shouldn't be dependent. I'm not a Bible guru where you say, you come and explain to me. I want to teach you how you could look at the Bible yourself and to read it for yourself and to commune with God for yourself. Because that's always been important to God. It has always been important that God has His word to His people and they can have it for themselves. So the first thing we see in this book of Joshua is we see the copying of God's word, that God has desired to have people to have access to the word of God. It's a horrible thing, times in history where people locked up the word of God, where they made it illegal. They took it away from the people. There was times in history where it was illegal to have a Bible, even in such places today as Uzbekistan. If you are found with an Uzbek Bible or a Bible written in the Uzbek language, it is 3 years in prison today. In 2017, it is illegal to have Bibles in certain places of the world. But God has desired to have His Word. You know, again, how are we going to stand before God and justify that we had access to God's Word and we refused to read it when so many people around the world would do anything just to be able to have it for themselves? We need to be thankful for what we have and use it, that we have the access to God. So first of all, we see the copying of God's word. The second thing I want to show you is the mounts of blessing and cursing. The mounts of blessing and cursing. Notice with me in Joshua chapter 8, verse 33. Excuse me. Joshua chapter 8 and verse number 33, it says, "And all of Israel and their elders and officers and their judges stood on this side of the ark that was on the side before the priests of the Levites, which bear the ark of the covenant of the Lord, as well as the stranger, as he was born among them, half of them over against Mount Gizrim and half of them against Mount Ebal, as Moses, the servant of the Lord, had commanded before that they should bless the people of Israel." Now, after the word of God was copied, the next part of the ceremony was set up. Now, I understood that it took time to write all of the word of God through Genesis, Exodus, Numbers, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy. All of that was placed up on there, and it took some time. I don't know how long, but it took some time to put up on there. Afterwards, they gathered up all of the children of Israel, and they gathered them to two mountains. The two mountains was Mount Ebal and Mount Gizrim. Now, the ancient city of Samaria, Shechem, is in between in this valley. And so these two mountains are right next to each other. You had Mount Gizrim and Mount Shechem. Now, Mount Gizrim is very lush, very green, very pretty. And so it was to represent the blessings. And so they had half of the people line up over here. Mount Ebal is very dry, very arid, very rocky. That's not good for pasture land. It's very rocky. And it was to represent the mountain of curses. And they would split them up, half over here and half over here. In fact, notice in Deuteronomy chapter number 27, we're going to turn back to Joshua again, but let's examine what the Bible says, and this as God gives us more details. Deuteronomy chapter 27, and notice within verse 11, we see how the people were to be divided. Verse number 11, "And Moses charged the people the same day, saying, these shall stand upon Mount Gizrim to bless the people when you come over Jordan, Simeon and Levi and Judah and Issachar and Joseph and Benjamin." All right, so all of you guys, all these tribes of Israel, your job is to stand on Mount Gizrim. All right, that's where I want you at. Now, remember, Moses isn't going to be there. Joshua's in charge. But God is giving Moses the instructions before they even cross the river. This is what I want you to do. Then in verse 13, "And these shall stand upon Mount Ebal to curse. Reuben, Gad, and Asher, and Zebulun, and Dan, and Naphtali. And so they divide them up. Half of them over here, half of them over here. And they're going to go through the ceremonies of the mount's blessing and cursing. Now, these two mountains, they're about 3,000 feet above sea level. They're close to the same height. And then in the valley, in between the two mountains, they have the city of Shechem. Now, what this was to do, it was to represent a very picturesque thing. So if you're standing in the valley where Shechem was to be, and you look up, you have Mount Gizrim over here, beautiful and lush. Over here, you have Mount Ebal. So you have all the people lined up over here. And what it's supposed to do is give a visual picture that as I obey God, see, you always make a choice. You're standing in the valley, you make a choice to obey or to disobey. And so you obey, you head up to the mountain that shows the blessings, the lush life, the abundant life. But if you're in the valley and you make a choice to disobey, you go to the mount that is arid, that is barren, that is rocky, that is not lush, that is not. And so you make your choice. And it's to be a visual picture that I choose to obey or disobey. And there's consequences for my action. It's not like it's a non-factor. When you choose to obey, you choose to start moving up the lushness, the blessings, the fullness that God wants you to do. When you choose to disobey, it's like climbing up the other rock face. And this is what you get, the barrenness, the rockiness without the vegetation. It's not as pretty. It is not as lush. This is your choice. You choose to obey or you choose to disobey. Now remember, Deuteronomy 27, 28, 29, 30, it goes through so much. I'm not going to go through all those chapters, but let me hit some piecemeal thing to you to try to show this is exactly what is being taught. Notice with me Deuteronomy chapter number 28. Deuteronomy 28, it's continuing with the ceremony of the mount blessing and cursing. Now, what's going to happen is that they're going to read all of this ceremony, and basically they're turning the attention. All right, for those who are being blessed, you repeat after me, you say your part. Those who are representing the curses, this is what you say, this is what it is. And so basically they have 2.5 million people lined up on these mountains, and someone standing in the middle, and they're preaching, and they're declaring the whole thing here with all of the people present. Everyone is there to hear this ceremony. Everyone is here to hear the blessings and the curses. Deuteronomy 28 and verse 1. And it came to pass that if thou shalt hearken diligently, not just partially obey, by the way, but hearken diligently. That means on purpose. That means you're pursuing after it. You make that choice. You go after it. If it shall come to pass that if thou shalt hearken diligently unto the voice of the Lord thy God to observe and to do, see, not just to hear and read, but to obey what God has given to you, to observe and to do all of his commandments, which I command thee this day, that the Lord thy God shall set thee on high above all the nations of the earth. And these blessings shall come upon thee and overtake thee, if thou shalt hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God. Blessed shalt thou be in the city, and blessed shalt thou be in the field. Blessed shall be the fruit of thy body, and the fruit of the ground, and the fruit of thy cattle, and the increase of thy kine, and the flocks of thy sheep. Blessed shall be thy basket in thy store. Blessed shall be thou when thou comest in, and blessed shall thou be when thou comest out. And the Lord shall cause thy enemies to rise up against thee, to be smitten before thy face. And thou shalt come out against thee one way, and flee before thee seven ways. And the Lord shall command the blessings upon thee in thy storehouses, and all that thou hast settest thy hand to. And he shall bless thee in the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. And it continues to go on and gives more blessings. And that's an example of it, that they give this, and they said, all right, if you obey, this is what you get. You get the blessings. And this mountain is to be an example, a visual picture. If I choose to obey, this is what I get. I get blessings. But the same thing is true, that if you disobey, you get curses. Notice as it picks it up in verse number 15. Deuteronomy chapter 28, verse 15. But it shall come to pass, if thou will not hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God, to observe to do all of his commandments and his statutes which I command thee this day, that all these curses shall come upon thee and overtake thee. Cursed shall be thou be in the city, and cursed shall thou be in the field. Cursed shall be thy basket in thy store. Cursed shall be the fruit of thy body, and the fruit of thy land, and the increase of thy kine, and the flocks and thy sheep. Cursed shall be thy when thou comest in, and cursed shall thou be when thou goest out. The Lord shall send upon thee cursing and vexation and rebuke, and all that thou sittest thy hand unto for to do, until thou be destroyed, and until they perish quickly because of the wickedness of thy doings, whereby thou hast forsaken me. And it goes on and gives more curses and stuff. And so this is the ceremony. This is a big event that comes up to try to get in their mind that, first of all, they write the word of God and they make it available. And then they say, here's the picture. You obey, you get blessings. You disobey, you get curses. Here is a mountain that represents blessing. Over here is a mountain that represents cursing. Now, when you stand in the valley of Shechem, you look either side and you can easily see there's a difference. Green, white, rocky, lush, barren. And it is be there as a picture. And everyone was gathered there so they had their own object lesson, so they could see with themselves the difference between these two mountains. Isn't that just a wonderful thing that God, even before they got there, God said, I want you to go to these mountains. I already know what these mountains are, that one's beautiful, one's not. One's lush, one's rocky. And I want you to go there, and it fits all 2.5 million people. I want you to tell them this promise. I want you to go through this ceremony. I want them to see it for themselves, so they see with their own beady eyes, blessings, curses. You know, God is a simple God. We like to make things complex and whatever else, and think that we got to do all this stuff and make the Christian life so complicated that in order to get God's blessing, I have to... It's just as simple as obey or disobey. That's it. That is, God gives you something to do, we obey it, and he gives us blessings. If we choose to disobey, we get cursing. We get barrenness. We get things that are messed up in our life. And you could go back and study these cursings and these blessings as God gives them. But he makes it pretty clear about what's happening. And so we have Mount Gizrim. That is the picture, the example of the blessings. Over here we have Mount Ebal. Now, you could give this to anyone and they could understand it, right? This is what you get when you obey. This is what you get when you disobey. Here's the word of God. So you don't have any excuse. I didn't know I was supposed to do this. God wants you to have the word of God so you know what he wants you to do. Isn't that a great God that he clearly says, this is what I want, this is what I don't want. Obey or disobey. You don't have to guess, oh, I don't know if I'm doing right. You should. What does the Bible say? That's just the simple life. He makes it so simple. We make it so complicated. But this was a big deal as the children of Israel are starting to get victory. As they're fixing to get ready to divide the land and go to more victories and split off. He says, all right, you're not going to have someone taking you by the hand now and saying, all right, now you now are going to choose to obey or disobey. And he says, it's quite simple. You obey, get the blessings. You disobey, you get cursing. I have so many people who sometimes get aggravated at me when I say the Christian life is that simple. You're either obeying or you're disobeying. You say, but you don't understand. I got situations and I got things that go in there. No, no, no. You obey or you disobey. You could put that with whatever subject you want, whether it's soul winning. What does God say? To go and tell every creature. Well, I can't because I'm too busy and because of this and because of this and because of this. No, no, no. It's you either obey or you disobey. Well, I can't give because of this and this and this. No, 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 no. You either obey or you disobey. Well, it's time to go to church. Well, I can't go to church because of this and this. No, 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 no. You either obey or you disobey. Well, I can't read my Bible because of what. No, 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 no. You obey or you disobey. You see, it's simple. We make things complicated. We give excuses. And by the way, when you stand before God, none of those excuses will last for anything. It's either you obey or you disobey. God is a very simple God. I mean, he's a very complex whatever, but he makes it so simple for us because we're still stupid sheep. He makes it so that way we don't get too befuddled. It's either you obey or you disobey. You get blessings or you get cursed. He is even nice enough to tell you what's going to happen if you obey or disobey. Because he loves us. You know, he's not doing this because he wants to curse the people. Why is he doing this? Because he wants them to choose blessings. He wants them to look and say, this is what I want, so I'm going to obey. That was the whole picture. That was the whole thing. And it was a visual representation that every time they walked upon the mountain, there's the word of God. Every time they walked upon them, blessing, disobey. So they didn't get it out of their head. It was something ingrained in them. They had a visual picture. What do you choose? Obey or disobey? Turn back with me to the book of Joshua. And as we went here, we saw the copying of God's word. That God wanted to have it, everyone to have access to his word. Everyone could see his word. Everyone could see for themselves what it said. That you didn't have to take someone else's word for it. You could see it from God's word for yourself. Then you made your choice to obey or disobey. And if you obeyed, you got blessing. If you disobeyed, you had cursed. The third thing I want to show you in this text in Joshua, Joshua chapter 8, is the reading of God's word. The reading of God's word. Notice, if you don't mind, in verse number 34, Joshua 8 and verse 34. And afterward, he read all the words of the law, the blessings and curses, according to all that is written in the book of the law. And there was not a word that Moses commanded, which Joshua read not before the congregation of Israel, which the women and the little ones and the strangers were conversant among them. Now we see this, that remember in Deuteronomy 27, 28, 29, and 30, it covers all the blessings and curses that were to be pronounced that day. So every bit of it was read out for everyone, so everyone heard it. And that if we obey, there'll be blessings. If we disobey, there'll be curses. Notice with me, if you wouldn't mind, Deuteronomy 28. And let's just pick up a highlight, if you don't mind. Deuteronomy 28. Deuteronomy 28, and notice with me in verse number 15. That was not what I was looking for. We've already done the blessings and cursings. But if we don't know what God's word is, we don't know what to do. But God's word is meant to be as a guide that we obey or we disobey. And so they read the word of God. They read all of Deuteronomy 28. Maybe we will pick up some highlights. Let me pull some out really quick. Deuteronomy 20. He gives promises, gives some other blessings. He talks about obeying a little bit more. He talks about in Deuteronomy 29, 29, the secret things belong unto the Lord our God, but those things which are revealed belong to us and to our children forever, that we may do all the words of the law. God gives a quick promise. It says that the secret things are God, but God has revealed things to us and we're supposed to obey to it. That's what the word of God does, is reveal himself. Chapter 30, verse 11. For this commandment which I commanded this day is not hidden from thee, neither is it afar off. You know, God is a great God that he didn't hide his word, but he wanted everyone to know about it. Turn back with me to Joshua chapter Joshua chapter number 8. And I want you to see who's all present. Now, you know, we understand different cultures and different times have come up, but notice who's all present. Who did God want to know his word? Notice with me Deuteronomy chapter 8, and notice with me in verse 35. And there was not a word at all that God commanded, which Joshua read not before all. Notice that word all. Does anybody know what that word all means? It means all. All. The congregation of Israel. Who's all included? With the women. Do you know that it's not just men that God expects to know the Bible? He wants women to know the Bible. Notice this. The little ones. Do you know that God wants children to know the Bible? Someone says, when should someone start reading their Bible? As soon as they're able. Do you know that in the early parts of our nation, that in the 1700s, early 1800s, by the time a child was four, they could read the Bible for themselves? That there's something wrong with our education system. You know why there's something wrong with our education system? Because if people can't read, they can't read the Bible for themselves. It is a spiritual war that is going on. You know what God wants to happen? He wants children to know the Bible. Someone says, how come in your church that during the Sunday morning service, the kids aren't playing, have an activity and playing football? Because we want them to know the Word of God. We want them to know the Word of God. Why is Sunday school class so important? Because we want them to know the Word of God. Why are memory verses so important? Because we want them to know the Word of God. Thy word have I hid in my heart, that they may not sin against thee. You know, if we could teach young people the Word of God quickly and put it in their heart, it will keep them from the cursings that God wants them to do. God doesn't just want men to know the Bible. He wants women to know the Bible. He just doesn't want men and women to know the Bible. He wants children, little ones, to know the Bible. We need to teach them memory verses. We need to teach them the Word of God. We want to teach them how to obey the Word of God. We need to teach them these things. Why? Because this is what God wants. Kids can be used of God. You don't have to wait to be 18 to be used of God. We could teach them to tell little verse, to do verses. We could teach them how to tell people about the Lord. We could teach them how to pray. You know, I don't know what has happened in our culture, but sometimes with church culture, that once they graduate high school and they have to leave the youth group, now they have to sit in the boring congregation. And no wonder we lose kids as soon as they go. We need to teach them to love God's word even now. We need to teach them how to listen to God's words, how to pay attention, how to respond to the altar, how to respond when God speaks, to teach them the Word of God, to teach them, because if we grab them young, it will serve them for the rest of their life. That we shouldn't teach them, and this is what happens in some churches, is that we teach them that the adults do the boring stuff and they go play football and now they're no longer allowed to have fun in church anymore. And now that I'm 18 and I get to leave house, I'm leaving church because it's not fun anymore. We should teach them that church should be fun, that it should be a wonderful thing. Teach them to sing. And someone says, man, they sing loud, but they're so off key. If anyone ever stops some kid from singing, you're going to deal with pastor. Let them sing. Let them do everything with their heart. Let them go. Let them love the Lord. Let them enjoy the things of God. But notice this, if you don't mind. Not only the men and the women and the little ones and the strangers that were conversant among them. You know, God says, I know that there's some people among you that are not native-born Jews that traveled with you and that have been with your camp. Let them know the Word of God. Get the Word of God into their hands. Let them understand what God says. You know, we as a church, we're never going to turn someone away. I don't care if someone comes in and they have spike green hair and they have an earring and a nose ring and a chain going from the earring to the nose ring. We're going to say, we're so glad to have you. And we're not going to say anything about how they're dressed. We're going to be glad to have them. We're going to sit them down. Some of you are already working in training that when someone comes in, don't let them sit by themselves. Sit with them. Have someone sit with them. Say, hey, can I sit with you? Can I be with you? Can I love on you? We want to let them feel included because we want them to know the Word of God. We want them to see it for themselves because the Word of God is the most important thing that goes on in this place, that they hear God's word and then they make their choice to obey or to disobey. But we don't hide the Word of God for someone. No, you're not a Christian. You can't have one of these. We want to give them out to every person so they can see for themselves what the Bible says. God said, this is an exclusive service. This is available for everyone. I want them all to hear about it. So when they lined above the mountains, they didn't say, all right, let me check your lineage. Are you a man? Are you an adult? Are you part of Israel? They let everyone come. They want everyone to hear the Word of God. Everyone is to hear the pronouncement of the blessings and the curses. And everyone to see for themselves. If you obey, you get the blessings. If you disobey, you get the curses. You know, what do we get from a message like this? Well, the very important thing, the most important thing that you personally can get is that you choose to obey and you choose to disobey. And if you choose to obey, there's blessings. And if you choose to disobey, there's curses. It's just that simple. We make things complicated, but it's that simple. What's the second thing we get from here? That everyone needs the Word of God for themselves. We need to get the Word of God to people's hands. We need to get it out there. And then as we find people that are working on translations to people that don't have the Word of God for themselves, we need to pray for them. We need to find them. We need to get behind them. We need to find out how to support them. The most important thing that could ever happen is for people to have the Word of God for themselves. They need to see it for themselves. They don't just need to hear it from someone. They need to have access to see it for themselves. It is God's Word that's so important. That's why I make a big deal that everyone brings their Bible here. You know, if you start coming here, we want you to have your own Bible here so you could see it for yourself. So you could have it and you could take it home and look it up. By the way, I want to preach in such a way that it still means the same thing, that when you go home and read it for yourself, it didn't change meanings. It's exactly what the Bible said. But you need to know it for yourself. But we need to be conscious that people need the Word of God. We need to get it into their hands. We need to let them see it for themselves. It's the Word of God that changes lives. It's the Word of God. And by the way, Christian, the greatest thing you could do on a daily basis is to read the Word of God for yourself. You need to know what it is. You cannot stand on promises if you don't know what they are. If you don't know what the Bible says, you don't know what to obey or disobey. You don't know what to avoid. If you don't know what the Bible says, you don't know what to claim and say, God, I'm trusting this promise. I'm trusting that you said I could do this. I'm trusting that you would fulfill this for me. You need to know what the Bible says for yourself. It is so important. We need the Word of God, and that we can't function without the Word of God. We must have His Word. And that just not us spoiled Americans, but we need to get the Word of God to every person. They need to see it for themselves. We need to be conscious about our efforts. We need to be helping in our efforts. We need to be moving together as a church, that our job is to get the Word of God into people's hands so they could see God's promises for themselves. Thank you for listening to this audio message. This is Pastor Scotty Bockhaus, and I encourage you to take this information that you just received and make a specific decision to follow after the Lord. If you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior, let me beg you to take the time to receive Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. If you are saved, I encourage you to make a decision in your life to help you get closer with the Lord. If there's anything specific we can do to be a blessing or to pray for you, we encourage you. Look us up on the internet at riverviewbc.com. Once again, that's riverviewbc.com. Or if you would prefer to call us, you can give us a call at area code 920-530-6308. Once again, that number is 920-530-6308. If there's anything we can do to be a blessing or an encouragement to you, please let us know. We would love to make ourselves available. Thank you.